Hello, and welcome to the East Anglian Theatre Podcast. Valentine's Day is over, so the only affection you need to express right now is for the real loves of our lives. Pancakes. And the theatre, of course. And that, my friends, is where I come in. The metaphorical third wheel in your relationship with all things theatrical in our glorious region. For those that haven't had the displeasure of meeting me, my name's Ray Tempesta, and I am your host. Think of me as the waiter at your Valentine's Day meal. We both know you're here to consume that delicious food, which you hope will act as an aphrodisiac. But first, you have to put up with a bit of well-meaning but pointless patter aimed at building a fake rapport in order to win your approval. Just go with it, and you'll get to what you really want. And in the case of the podcast, that's the interview. If you've not listened before, there's a whole load of crap that's gone before that you've yet to hear. For those that have, you'll know that the podcast is split into three sections. Section one is where I like to think people have an interest in what I've been up to in the world of theatre. More often than not, this is a review of something I've seen recently, but sometimes it's a general update as to the other theatre-y things that I've been involving myself in. Section two is the part where I have the chance to irritate someone face-to-face as I interview a guest that's involved in a local company or is touring in the region, perhaps. Best of all, you get a bit of respite from my voice. Hurrah! And finally, section three for the endurance specialist among you is where I take a quick look at some of the upcoming shows and audition opportunities on offer in the region. That's all coming up, of course, but first, let's take care of the boring admin that I feel obliged to mention for the sake of growing the podcast. The East Anglian Theatre Podcast has a Facebook, Twitter and Instagram account, and it kind of has to, because without the stats to show me what little impact I'm having on the world, how else would I keep my self-esteem so low? If you happen to come across my pages, please do consider giving them a like, a follow, a share, or whatever. Oh yes, and against my better judgment, I've even started a TikTok account as I read somewhere that it's also good for promoting a podcast, so we'll see what happens. You can also find all episodes of the podcast, plus my reviews for the various shows that I've seen, on my website, eatpod.co.uk. That's eatpod.co.uk. There's also a page where you can contact me to let me know of any shows or auditions that you'd like me to mention, or even if you'd like to endure some misery yourself and be a guest on a future episode. Or just send me an abusive message, whatever. I'm sure it all helps the algorithm. Anyway, now that's taken care of, let's officially move on to section one, where, in the absence of any friends, I ask myself, what have I been up to theatre-wise recently? Well, thanks for asking, Ray. In the previous episode, I interviewed Caroline Manley, who was directing Rackheath Players' production of The Wedding Singer, and I went along on opening night to watch it. Now, the full review is on the website, so I won't read it out verbatim, but what I will say is that in spite of some technical hitches, which I know the production team were frustrated with, the cast still gave a really decent account of themselves. Rackheath also displayed their strength in depth, with some really great young talent coming to the fore in this production, for which they partly have their own youth company to thank. It was also encouraging to see so many people in attendance on a Thursday night, and this is exactly the sort of company that really benefits from your support, so for my part too, I was delighted that not only could I do my bit in promoting the show, and the company of course, but that also I could see the product of their work. Now aside from watching The Wedding Singer, I also attended a couple of rehearsals for the production of Hobson's Choice that I'm involved in. Scripts are dropping like flies at the moment, so everyone's characterisations are really starting to come to life with the help of the director, Simon Thompson, and our assistant director, Amanda Howell. I also got the chance to rehearse in the theatre at Sheringham, and I saw firsthand the theatre's new look coffee bar, which they've recently opened. It's definitely worth getting yourself to the gorgeous Sheringham Little Theatre at some point if you have the chance. Not necessarily for Hobson's Choice, although obviously I'd be delighted if you can, but they've got a wide variety of shows on offer, and it's a great venue in a lovely spot on the North Norfolk coast, so definitely worth a visit. Anyway, enough about me, and on to the main feature, the interview. And I'd like to introduce you to, well, I would say three people, but mostly two, as will become apparent. They're improv comedy performers based in Bury St Edmunds who are looking to set their plans for 2023 in motion, beginning with a show in Bungay in April. Their names are Aaron Waite, Nick Reynolds and Helen Fullerton, and they're all members of Insert Laughter Here. Anyway, without further ado, which is a shame because I do so enjoy and I do, let's have a chat with the three of them, shall we? Hi Hi there, Aaron, Helen and Nick. Now, with three guests, it can sometimes be a bit confusing for the listeners as to know who's speaking at any given moment. So as well as briefly introducing yourselves, would you mind letting the listeners know how to tell you apart as well?
Well, hello, I'm Aaron. I say and a lot, so you probably notice that that's me when I'm talking.
I'm the female one, but I won't be talking a lot because everybody else in the house is asleep. So I'm going to make great podcast material.
And I guess I'll be the one trying to say a lot less than Aaron.
Now, rather unusually for me, I'm going to start with a bit of small talk, but with a twist. Instead of asking each other, you know, how our day was, how the weather treated us, you know, what we do for a living, whether we have any pets, I'm going to test your powers of, well, improvisation, but also your powers of prediction as well. And I'll let you fill in the gaps. So how do you think my day has gone? How has the weather treated me? What do you think I do for a living? And do you think I look like a pet owner?
Very interesting. Okay, so how has your day gone? I would say that it's been very confusing. Everything you went to go and do, you found that the appointment had been booked for another time. The weather was chaotic at best. It was sunny and then rainy, and then it randomly hails for about 3 seconds and then went back to sunny again. What do you do for a living? I would say that you are a person who does the quality control check on Y-front underpants. And thanks to their waning popularity, your job is starting to wind down. However, the owners have been approaching various other elasticated underwear companies to agree a mutual takeover. I can see Nick laughing. And do you look like a pet owner? I would say yes, a small gerbil named Fred.
3 out of 4, correct. I won't say which 3. Now, enough of that nonsense and on to some other nonsense. Insert laughter here. Can you sum up what you do without using the words improv or comedy?
No.
Yeah, that's going to be a challenging one. But what we do is we make people laugh. Yeah. We make ourselves laugh quite a lot. And we make things up from just a few suggestions from the audience. Off the cuff, trying to think of other synonyms for the I word I'm not allowed to say.
I'll lift the ban on the yes. Improv and comedy. There you go.
Yes, we do improv comedy. Yeah, so it basically means that a lot of us silly, funny folk get together on stage. We take suggestions from the audience. We have a few games that we play. So we have like specific things that we're looking for suggestions from the audience. And we turn that into very silly comedy fun very, very quickly. And none of us know what we're going to do or say until it happens. And then once it's happened, it's gone forever. It'll never happen again. So, yeah, that's the gist of it.
Much like real life, I dare say.
Yes, yes. Obviously, there's an air of unpredictability about your shows. That's the nature of the game. But there's a structure of sorts. So what sort of thing can audiences expect to see from you guys at one of your live shows?
It's difficult to say because it is just that chaotic. I think the playing of games kind of sets the scene. It allows us to have at least a basic structure of kind of how the show is going to go rather than just winging it completely. But, you know, it is important that we get that kind of audience interaction because they're the ones that are making up the stories and giving us the scenes and kind of making suggestions as to things that we should act out or say or do. And we, without that, it would just be us kind of making stuff up on the spot, which wouldn't be quite as interesting, I think, for the audience.
Mm. How did you all get involved in improv? I mean, personally speaking, I find it really quite intimidating. I'm nothing without a script in front of me. Well, obviously not on the actual performance days, you know, that would make me a terrible performer. But
it's interesting. A lot of people say that when I say we do like improvised comedy, we make stuff up on the spot. Often the thing that people say is that must be terrifying. But actually it's quite the opposite. And it's a strange feeling. Like it is quite scary to start with. Like when you first think about going to do some improvisation, it can be really intimidating as in, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be funny. That's the thing that people mention the most. But I've just joined the cast of a scripted play, which is, you know, I've not done that for a long time since I left school. And that's a lot scarier for me than going on stage and just making stuff up. I think it's that I kind of lose the inhibition when I don't know what's coming. I can't be afraid of it. Like, the idea of improvisation at its core is to just accept whatever happens and take that, run with that idea and add something to it. That's it, basically. So we'll be on stage, we'll say something, Nick will say something silly, and I'll go, yeah, and then just kind of roll with that. And we, you know, it just builds and builds from there. And there isn't really, I don't think there's anything to be scared of, but, you know, I can see why people from the outside would feel like it's scary. But I think it's a lot scarier, and I'm certainly feeling a lot more scared about having a script and having to hit the right notes and know that you have a set thing to, this must be said here, this must be said here, I can't miss this cue. Whereas with improv, you can say whatever you like and everyone else in the scene that you're playing with will go with it. There isn't any kind of, oh, well, that's not the right line, because it is, whatever you say is correct. So there's nothing you can do wrong, basically.
I guess what I would be intimidated by is the pressure to be funny. This, you obviously got that instant audience reaction, so you can straight away tell if your jokes are falling flat.
There is that, yeah, definitely. I don't personally feel any pressure to be funny. I think a lot of what makes what we do funny is the fact that it comes out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll be asking suggestions from the audience for like a made up TV show. And I think someone said something like cats doing delivery driving or something like that. And that in itself is a ridiculous idea. But then the performers can run with that and, you know, it just is funny. I don't think any of us are on stage thinking I need to be funny. They're just rolling with it, and it just is. It's mm-hmm. very hard to explain, but I mean I don't think about it. I just go with it. And
I suppose you've got the audience behind you as well. They're there for that purpose. They're not there to pick holes in things. I mean, they make as much a part of the show as you guys in some respects.
That's exactly what it is. It's that spontaneity. You know, if we had any kind of structure, if we had any feed lines, if we had anything that was supposed to lead us in a particular direction, then there probably would be some nervousness around being funny. But because it is just us playing games and feeding off each other and having to figure out how we're going to do these crazy situations with cats as delivery drivers or the Muppets on a holiday or whatever it might be, you know, it's one of those things that you just do it. And you just hope that the very nature of being an idiot on stage is enough to get the laughs.
Because we're all quite good friends, we all have this sort of level of trust, and Helen will nod and agree, I'm sure.
Helen is nodding, yes.
Helen has nodded. But because we're all quite close friends, there is that trust in each other as well. Like, we can just be comfortable with each other on stage. There's nothing's going to go wrong in a scary way with each other up there. We do have some solo games, which are, I'd say, probably the scariest games that we have. But even then, it's a case of remembering that, hey, I'm the one leading this. I'm talking this nonsense and the audience are laughing. So all's okay.
And in terms of the group, the first show that I know of this year is the one in Bungie in April. But what are your plans outside of that one?
Yeah, so we're working on quite a lot, actually. So we've got the Fisher Theatre is going to be our first show of the year in April. We're doing another show at the Hunter Club in Bury St Edmunds, which is a lovely place. It's usually, they do a lot of independent music, local music, and but they've kind of branched out recently into more variety. So they've got a recurring comedy night, stand-up comedy. They've got drag nights every month, I think now they're there. And then we've played there a few times and it's such a lovely place. So we're going to be performing there again. We have some very exciting things that are in the pipeline, which are not quite confirmed yet. But I'm making some inquiries into us being involved in a certain fringe festival in a certain capital of the country, which will be very exciting if things do come off. But just kind of crossing those I's and dotting those T's at the moment. And then beyond that, it's just a case of we're looking for new places to perform. We're still quite new. We only started in 2019. So yeah, just as many shows as I can get programmed in, basically, is the game. And like I was thinking about it today, it feels like such a long time between now and April. but it soon comes around. But like, I'm always looking forward to the next show because there's no feeling quite like it. Just like, it seems like we have 2 hour shows and it seems like they go in a matter of minutes because we're just having so much fun. And literally I was just like, oh, when's the next show? Oh, it's April. Oh my goodness. It's so far away. But then hopefully we'll have April, May, June, July, if things work out, August and beyond. And then the year will be well underway. But yeah, no, it's a rush like no other. I think the others would agree. Helen, would you agree? Yes. Yeah. And yeah, nodding very
She's
quickly.
Nodding
yeah.
furiously.
Yeah. Nick?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, before I joined the group, I hadn't really performed on stage for probably about 15 years, give or take. Work got in the way, life got in the way, whatever it was. So to get up on stage for the first time, thanks to Aaron involving me in the group, means that, yeah, I just rediscovered that passion for being an idiot on stage.
Nothing quite like it, is there?
Absolutely.
How did you all discover you had a love for improvised comedy?
So I used to work at Theatre Royal, Bury St Edmunds, and there was one afternoon, there was, I think they called it Act Your Age, was like a group for older generations getting back into kind of making people laugh. And one of the things they were working on was improvised comedy. And they put on a performance in the theatre. It was, it wasn't a public thing. It was just an opportunity for them to get together. They got the opportunity to have a performance and all the staff in the theatre were invited. And I was sitting next to my friend on the box office and it was a great show. They did really well. They'd been doing it for a few months and it was very funny. And I turned to my friend and said, we could do this. Should we do this? And she like over enthusiastically looked at me and went, we absolutely need to do this. And I'd grown up watching Whose Line Is It Anyway and loved it. And I just thought, yeah, why don't we do this? So I put together a group. I got Abby involved as one of the founding members. And we just started having rehearsals. And then we booked a show. I just went, where can we put a show on? And we performed at Moises Hall in Bury St Edmunds, which is a museum, just not a theatre at all. And we're in like the medieval crypt of this museum. So there's like this really old stone archway that we're performing under. And it was a completely sold out show and the audience were laughing their heads off. We had a few people in the front row who were even snorting, which made everyone laugh even more. Mm-hmm. And it was just like unlocking a joy. And so gradually I got more and more people involved. Other people who I knew were very funny. And originally it was people in and around Bury St Edmunds. So it was quite close, locally focused. But then, you know, I remember I have lots of very funny friends in Norfolk and beyond. So people like Hayley Evener and Helen, who's here. People I know who are excellent actors, but also very, very funny. So they're very good at like very serious drama, which I'm not so good at. I'm definitely a comedian all the time. But Helen, Hayley, Ivan, James, all these people who are fantastic actors, but they're also really, really hilarious. So I brought all of these people together and there's 11 of us in the group now and they're all just so funny. So yeah.
That's a relief to hear.
It definitely helps for a comedy show for the people involved to be funny. But they are. And they're all really good friends as well. So it's just great to have an excuse to play games with every so often. And we get together for practice sessions and we always have a great laugh.
It's interesting you mentioned practice. So presumably you do have to fine tune the art form, if you like, and hone it.
Yeah, definitely. Like as Nick mentioned earlier, there is a backbone, there's a structure. So we have a series of games that we play and they have a set structure to them. Like, for example, there's a game called The Dating Show where we have one performer who is guessing the secret identities of three other performers in like a blind date style game. So when we practice, we have an online form that people can give us suggestions on. And we just pull some of these suggestions together and we play the games. So we play them as if we were playing them on stage, but we just practice the form. And so that it becomes a point of, you don't know what suggestion you're going to be given, but you know how the game works. So you know what kind of form to follow. You know that each of those three performers with their mystery identity is going to have two questions to answer. And they've got to give away clues that are not immediately going to tell that person who they are, but give them enough to kind of have that guest and also be funny, and also not go on too long, because that's the other danger with a game, is that we have a game and we get overindulgent and it just becomes the whole act. So it's just about kind of honing those, the understanding of how those games work. So I think we've kind of nailed that. I think there's like 15 or 20 different games that we have, and we're always kind of like, I've invented a couple of games just for the show, but we're always like pulling other games together and having a go at those. But what we're doing now is moving on to what we call more long form improv, where we're going to be in the second act of our show, we're going to be making an entire play. So it's not going to be individual games. It's going to be scenes, but they're all going to kind of join together in a story structure, which we're starting to get back into that scary territory because it's something that we haven't done before.
Is that something you're going to be practicing for in advance?
Yeah, so we did a little bit at the end of our last show in November. We did a 10-minute version. We kind of announced that was what we're going to be doing next, and we did a 10-minute version where I just spoke to one of the people in the audience and just asked her a few questions, and we found out about like a childhood memory of her and her grandparents. And then we made a play based on that for 10 minutes. And it was four actors, not taking the piss, but like making fun of the story in a really, it was actually really cute in the end. But just kind of for that whole 10 minutes, that's all it was. So what we're working on now is the structure of how to turn some suggestions from the audience into a long play that's never existed before. So yeah, that is what we're working on now in terms of the structure. How many scenes do we need? How do we know when the next scene is? That sort of thing.
And you mentioned that you've got a group of, you say, 11 of you. Presumably you're not all involved in the show at the same time.
Usually it's 5 to 6. The lowest we've had is 3, and the highest we've had is 6, I think. So yeah, we wouldn't all be in the same show, because as awesome as that would be a lot of hands spoiling the soup. Yeah, exactly.
So can I look forward to seeing you three in the show in Bungie?
Helen's giving us a maybe. Me and Nick will definitely be there. I mean, I'll definitely be there. Me and Mark, who could be with us tonight, are the only people who've done all 11 shows that we've done so far. So I'm holding on to that record with white knuckled fists. That is not going anywhere.
You and Mark are the biggest show offs then.
Literally, yeah.
I would like to point out it's just because I was late to the party, not because I wasn't interested.
Yeah, exactly. Nick only joined start of last year, so he has a disadvantage, but he has been in every single show since he's been with us. So it'll definitely be me and Nick at the very least. It might just be me and Nick, we'll see. But yeah, hopefully we'll have a few others.
Final bit of promo work, really, for insert after here. What day is the show in Bungie?
I'm going to test Nick now. Go on, Nick.
Why would you do that? Why would you put me on the spot? I mean, you know, it's not like I can improvise or anything. It's in April.
Great.
I want to say the 13th, 14th?
I wish it was the 13th, because that's my birthday, but it's the 14th. Friday.
Yeah, see, I knew it was around that time. Yeah, that's we'll go with that.
Nice save. Yeah, Friday the 14th of April, the Fisher Theatre in Bungie.
Perfect. That's the promo stuff taken care of. On to a little bit about yourselves and in your own experiences of performing. Now, I guess you're all multifaceted performers, and obviously, and Insert Laughter here isn't perhaps your only creative outlet. So can you each give us an outline of what you get up to creatively outside of improv comedy?
So, I mean, I started my kind of performing career, as many people do, at school, doing school plays and stuff. And then when I left school, I wasn't really sure what the hell I wanted to do with my life. So I ended up going to work for Haven Holidays as one of the entertainment teams. So very similar to a red coat, but a different colour. And then that kind of got me used to being on stage and performing. And I kind of went through a process of being a room presenter and a vocalist for them. So that kind of gave me the confidence to be on stage and not necessarily worry about what people were thinking. And then, like I said, I had a massive hiatus then. Life got in the way and I had to get a job and be an adult for a bit. And now I've got to a point in life where actually I don't feel like I need to be so much of an adult anymore. So I get to do things like play the piano. I got a ukulele for Christmas, so I'm teaching myself that. And it's all those stupid little things that I kind of wanted to do when I was younger, but trying to be an adult and stopped myself from doing. I just feel like I've got the freedom to do that now. And then, yeah, joining Aaron in the group with the improvised comedy means that I get to be even sillier in front of people now, which without feeling like I'm being judged, because you do it at work, people tend to look at you funny.
Yes. Helen, do you want to give us an outline of what you do in sign language?
I'll come online. I act mostly. Text plays, audio dramas. I'm filming a Christmas film at the end of next month. So
I've seen from stalking you online, you've got quite a body of work behind you. And no doubt in front of you as well. I mean, that suggests you're right at the very end of your career.
Hopefully, yes. Well, I'm about to move, which is my big doubt of April. So who knows? Might all dry up.
Don't talk like that. And Aaron, you've obviously hinted that you're involved in a scripted play this time. But what else have you done before?
So similar to Nick, I did a lot of drama at school, some plays there, and then I had a bit of a boring time, went to work for a bank for a few years. And then I play a lot of games. I do a lot of D&D role-playing, so I run a few campaigns there. So that is creative, in a sense. And then I started this in 2019 as an excuse to get on stage and to do something performing, because I had missed it. And I make films, I take photos, so I've written and directed short films over the years as a way of... I'm just always creative. I have something that I'm working on, otherwise my brain just goes, we need to do something! And then starting this, and then so I wanted to do the scripted play because I hadn't done it for a long time, and I thought, I wonder if I could do that. I got involved with something at the theatre in 2019 for their anniversary year. They had these what they called Close Encounters tours. So it was like a tour of the building, but as you went round, you met characters from the theatre's history. And as part of that, I played an actor from 1840, William MacCready. And it was a single page of script, but it was so much fun to be part of the tour and just have that interaction with people in character. So I knew, because I do a lot of graphic design for this company, Irving Stage Company, I knew they were going to be doing Murder on the Nile. So I said to the director, I said, can I audition, please? Because I'd really like to be in a play. And she went, yeah, please auditions. Yeah, see how we go. And then I got the part. And so, yeah, we're working on that now.
Perhaps I have to get you back on the podcast to specifically promote that one. But when is it on?
That's in April as well. So,
that's in April as well. So yeah,
18th to the 22nd of April at Theatre Royal, Bury St Edmunds, that will be on. So if you want to see me be a posh socialist called William Smith, join us for that.
You mentioned earlier about Whose Line Is It Anyway, which is the first thing I think of when I think of improv comedy. But is there any other sort of inspirations, I guess, when it comes to your style of comedy?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of what we do is very similar to Mock the Week. There are some games that we play that they play quite a lot. But in my time in theatre over the years, I've seen companies like Showstopper, the improvised musical, Ostentatious, where they make up a Jane Austen novel on the spot, The Noise Next Door, who do short form improvisation, The Comedy Store Players, who again, same sort of thing. And all these people making fantastic things just completely off the cuff. And last year, Nick and I went to see Murder She Didn't Write, which is an improvised murder mystery, which how they put that together is incredible. But it was so much fun. And the audience got to decide who the killer was and who got killed. And they just made everything else up completely out of nothing. And that's partly why I wanted to move into doing long form, because they made a whole two-act play out of it, and Ostentatious do the same thing, and Showstopper make up a brand new musical every time they perform. It's incredible. So yeah, there was a lot of inspiration drawn from them as well. And I always kind of wanted to move into the kind of the longer form, but it helps to do the short stuff first, because that's kind of a stepping stone on the way, I think.
Yeah, and local to me, we've got a rather excellent improv group. You've probably heard of the Intellectual Hooligans.
See, yeah, I just realised, I was in my mind, I was just going, oh, there's one more that I haven't, who is it? And yeah, Intellectual Hooligans, because some of Insert Laughter Here are also in Intellectual Hooligans. I cannot forget them. But I've seen a few of their shows in Norwich, and yes, they are absolutely fantastic as well. Can't not include them.
So there's no gang rivalry then?
No, like I'm good friends with the person that runs it and have been friends with a lot of their members for a long time. And it's not a case of poaching from them. It's a case of they perform in both groups because we have shows different times, different places. I don't think there's any rivalry between us. I hope there isn't. But I have been in talks with their director about us having like a collaborative show at some point as well. So that is still hopefully on the cards if we haven't burnt all bridges with them by not mentioning them a few minutes ago. But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any kind of animosity there. I hope there isn't anyway. I'm sure they'll correct me soon after listening this.
Well, you know, in Bungie, you're right on the sort of Suffolk-Norfolk border, you know. So, you know.
Yeah, the trenches in between us. We've taken Thetford, so we're advancing.
Well, I think that's just about covered absolutely everything, really. So thanks very much for your time. And I've obviously got tickets to come and see the show in Bungie, so I'm very much looking forward to it.
Bring your strangest suggestions. I always say at the start of the show, we love it when people give us weird things. The weirder, the better.
It's not really very in the spirit of things if I write things down in advance, though, is it?
I mean, you can write some very strange things if you want and bring them along to us, and we'll make comedy out of them. One of the things which I really love, the particularly oddball suggestions, is when we ask for character quirks. So for games like Blind Date, Party Quirks, we have a game called Weird News where we all read the news as weird, strange character quirks. That's one of my favorite things, where people come out with something that's completely left field. Like someone said recently, I think it was, you can't say the letter S. That was such an interesting quirk to try and perform at, you know, very extremely short notice. So if you've got any strange quirks in that sense, one of my favorites, which I've ever given out, was it was at Intellectual Hooligans, actually. They were asking for quirks. And I said to one of them, you have to be every single member of a jazz quartet. And it was so funny watching him run around the stage trying to play all the instruments at once. And it was great. So, yeah, weird stuff like that would be great.
I'll see what I can do.
So there we have it. That was Aaron, Nick, and to a lesser extent, Helen from Insert Laughter Here. If you like the cut of their jib, why not get yourself along to the Fisher Theatre in Bungie on Friday the 14th of April? Tickets are only £7, so it's a nice cheap night out too. For tickets, either visit the company website, insertlaughterhere.co.uk, or the theatre directly via fishertheatre.org. Now, if you want to keep updated on all things Insert Laughter Here, and let's face it, who doesn't need a bit more laughter in their lives? You can follow the company on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They haven't as yet confirmed whether they have a MySpace or a Google Plus account, but I'm sure you can find them online somehow. Now, what else is coming up in the region in the next few weeks? Well, firstly, Masque Theatre in Peterborough is taking a break from tradition, and instead of producing a summer Shakespeare show, they're going for Christopher Marlowe instead, and specifically Faustus. They're now on the hunt for auditionees for their July production. There's two audition dates, the 13th and 15th of March, with both of them held at the Undercroft in Peterborough. You can visit their Facebook page for a more detailed audition pack. Remaining in Cambridgeshire, and Cambridge Youth Opera are on the lookout for young people aged between 11 and 21 to be part of their special original show in partnership with the Norwich Puppet Theatre. It's called The Little Black Cat, and it's set to be performed on the 18th of June in Norwich and the 25th of June in Cambridge, with rehearsals taking place at Chesterton Community College in Cambridge. It's free of charge, open to everybody, and if you sign up, you're guaranteed a place in the production. Over in Suffolk, the Sudbury Dramatic Society is presenting an Alan Bennett double bill at the Key Theatre. They'll be performing Say Something Happened, which is actually the first play that I ever directed, and Cocktail Sticks. They'll be performing between the 7th and 11th of March, with tickets available via keysudbury.com, and that's Key as in Q-U-A-Y. And finally, back in Norwich, you can catch a completely unique production of The History Man, based on the novel by Malcolm Bradbury. It's brought to you by a partnership between the University of East Anglia and the Maddermarket Theatre, and the book has been adapted for the stage by Antoinette Moses. It's on between the 8th and 12th of March at the Maddermarket, with tickets available via maddermarket.co.uk. I'm also hoping to bring you an interview with the show's writer, Antoinette, very soon, so keep an ear out for that too. And That, folks, is about all I have time for. Well, that's not strictly true, but I'm bored and you probably are too, so let's end it before things turn sour, hey? Now, thanks so much for listening to me, Aaron and Nick ramble on. Not so much Helen, of course. Thanks for imagining her nodding. And tune in next time to listen to another episode where I'll no doubt talk some more and someone else will probably talk back. Gosh, won't that be exciting? Until next time, take care of yourselves and go watch some theatre. Bye.